other day, they're in my hayfield, and I'm driving, I said, I better stop.
Tenants, we're going to begin the council public safety committee meeting, and the time is 3:03 p.m. And we have in attendance today, Council President Christopher Bullock, we've got Councilwoman Janet Kilpatrick, Councilman Tim Shelton, Councilman Dave Tackett, Councilman Bill Powers, Co-Chairman Councilman J.P. Street, we have Council President Pro Tem Penrose Hollins, Councilman George Smiley, Councilwoman Lisa Diller, and Councilman John Cartier, and my legislative aide Karen Barlow will be taking minutes and recordings.
And pictures if need be.
Huh?
And pictures if need be.
And pictures if need be. What's your pleasure with the minutes of the previous meeting?
Motion approved.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the minutes of the previous meeting. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. First thing we have on the agenda is ordinance number 15040, which will actually be, that's voted on tonight, right? Voted on this evening, and I believe that if Co-Chairman Street would like to touch on the academy.
Go ahead, Mr. Chair.
You all right? Okay. This particular ordinance is to approve in the FY15 operating budget to increase the authorized position count for the Department of Public Safety by 5 police officer positions in order to accommodate the upcoming 41st Newcastle County Police Academy. We have Director Bryant with us today. We also have Captain Crow with us. This particular ordinance kind of mirrors what we've done this past year, in as much that it seems that when we get ready to start the academy that we're already down a number of positions, and through attrition from retirements, the request has been made again, and I don't know whether Captain or Director, whether you'd want to touch on it, but it's certainly something that has worked in the past and assisted, I believe, our county police department in trying to maintain adequate numbers of police staffing. So either Director or Captain, sir?
Captain, thank you.
All right, thank you, Director.
Captain Pat Crowell, County Police, thank you very much. For the five overhires, as council well knows, you've been a big supporter of this and have been a tremendous help with getting us back up, and we thank you for that. I meant to apologize for the Colonel not being here today. For those of you that were taps, he's extremely ill, so I'm glad. Probably better that he's not here so we don't get sick, but he's under the weather, so he does send his consultants. But historically, as an agency, we lose about one officer per month is what our typical attrition rate is. With an academy being at least 6 months long, and then the field training process being another 4 months, he's saying 10 months, usually 10 officers down again. So at least with this, it's a bit of a cushion. Currently, we have 9 openings within the agency for police officers, and with this, it'll give us a nice size class, which is scheduled to start in June.
Okay. Captain, would you be able to, at this point, be able to enlighten us on any federal grant initiatives as far as the COPS program at this point?
Yes, sir. We currently have 2 open grant positions, COPS grants that are partially funding, I believe it's 11 officers at this time. When the next COPS grant opportunity comes out, which should be within the next month or two, we expect to fully, the maximum amount you can apply for is 5% of your authorized strength. So it'll be 17 officers that we hope to apply for, budgets allowing, and hopefully we get selected again to have some cost sharing with that.
Okay. And would that funding be available to the department prior to the academy?
No, sir. Usually with the most federal grants, they post it, you have about a month to 2 months to get your application in, and then they can take up to 6 months, if not longer, to make their determination on their end after they do the paperwork, etc.
Okay, and the reason I point that out to council is that the Colonel had actually mentioned that before to me, that if the grant process through the COPS grant for officers were such as though the money was available prior to the academy, then it would certainly enable us to even add additional officers above and beyond because of the attrition, but the funding is not there, so that's why, requesting for the 5 overfill.
Yes, sir.
So, okay, Co-Chairman Street, did you have anything?
Well,
I made my position clear with the chief last time, and I had to get that for Sammy, the chief, but, you know, it's 5, I think it should be 10, wish it was 20. Look at the news reports like I look at them every day, the number of shootings, the number of just outrageous kind of crimes that we continue to endure, and in spite of what I think great job the police department is doing, there's no question in my mind we need more officers on the street. But, police chief made a decision to his determination, but obviously I support this, just wish it was more.
Thank you. Councilman Cartier?
It's my understanding we are authorized at 380 officers currently, and this would raise it to 385?
Temporarily, and then through attrition, we would fall back down again.
Okay.
Councilman?
All the way back to former executive Coons, the number I put on the table then was 500. That's still my number.
Don't doubt that for a minute, and I think you're right on spot with the number. So, Council President Pro Tem Hollins, and then Councilman Tagman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Back to the previous question, Councilman Cartier mentioned that it would increase the authorized strength by 5 positions, and the captain responded it would go back down. I mean, the authorized strength would go back down, but the number of active officers would actually go down because of attrition. But we would still maintain the new authorized strength.
Correct, sir.
Thank you.
Which brings up a good question, is that if in fact, we do this every year to overfill, but I think at some point here, and Councilman Street has brought this out numerous times, is that maybe we should be looking from the police department standpoint to raise the authorized strength, knowing that you're continually battling, trying to get the numbers and through attrition and everything, but instead of having to come back and asking to overfill, maybe we should be increasing the authorized strength of the department. And I want to go to Councilman Tackett first, because I'd recognize you, and then Public Safety Director Bryant, and then Councilman Powers.
I was just going to make an observation to say it'll be interesting to see how the applications go and the applicants, because I did notice the other day on the radio, and maybe this happens all the time, but it just caught me as I was driving, and it came on that some other jurisdictions were actually advertising for officers, you know, in our area. So obviously, as other jurisdictions and the things that are going on are probably looking for the same thing. So be interesting to see how our applications go.
And one of the things that we constantly compete with is the terminology ready cops. And there's a mutual respect amongst law enforcement agencies somewhat, but I can tell you from our experience in public safety is the fact that there's departments that go after cops from other departments that are ready cops and try to get them to come over to their department. And they may not be the new rookie or recruit, but there's a lot of bartering that goes on to try and beef their numbers up in other departments. And, it is a problem that we constantly face. So. Director Bryant, sir.
Good afternoon, Director Bryant. I would be foolish not to comment on increasing our workforce or the number of officers on the police department. We would take it if we could raise it up. I know before I got here, we had an issue where, not because of me, but the years leading up to my return, we were losing officers to other agencies, ready cops going to other agencies in Delaware and beyond, not federal, but just other local and state. That has pretty much stopped. But what we do have, we have classes. There was a period of time, like every year, we're putting a class through. And at the 20th year, that whole class can leave. And that's what we're experiencing now. We have been for quite some time, where you have, you know, 5 and 10, 15, 20 officers leaving at the same time, which puts a real big hole in our overall numbers. It would be great if we could always have, as opposed to saying 5, maybe 10, maybe 20 that we could have in the academy every year and increase that number. It's it's not easy out there because there are people that get hurt, there's military leave, there's all these things that will cause someone not to be able to come to work. And, you know, the less officers you have, the greater chances of something happening to one of our guys out there. So, you know, we'll take the five, but if council would like to give us, you know, more than that, we will gladly take and put them to good use. You know, we're overfill by five. Guaranteed, by the time the academy's done, we'll be down again. And I think that's what the chief is constantly, the colonel is constantly talking about. We're always behind the eight ball.
What I would recommend, is it possibly between now and the next public safety committee meeting, that the two co-chairs of public safety meet with the administration, meet with the director and the colonel, and talk about the hiring in general as far as the numbers.
Absolutely.
And then come back, and I think that we should have a report at our next public safety committee meeting by the department with some concurrency of the administration as far as budget-wise and everything else, whether it would support. And the other thing is that because of the COPS program, if you take a look at the manner in which you've aggressively gone after funding, that funding, once it becomes available, and correct me if I'm wrong, really helps us to fund over a couple-year period. So by the time you really come out of the funding process, supporting the officers, the additional officers you put on the street, because of your loss of officers, okay, your attrition, you're basically staying within your budget numbers.
Yes.
And
yes.
Okay.
Well within.
All right. With that, Councilman Powers, then Councilman Retta, then Councilman Cartier. But I'm sorry.
I'll be
all right.
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
Councilman Powers.
Kind of going back on the COPS program, you said it could be up to 17.
Captain Packrowitt, yes, sir. The formula that the Federals, that the COPS office uses, you can apply for no more than 5% of your authorized strength.
We won't know that. So if we apply for that, will that be in the next class?
The funding won't be available till way after June. My guess is that the applications will probably be due sometime in June, and it'll probably take the COPS office at the federal level to make 6 months to make that final determination as to if they're going to fund 17, or they say no, we're only giving you five, or hey, you lost out this time because you lost last time. We don't know. It's a lot of unknowns, unfortunately.
Did we apply for the last for these or not?
Yes, we received the money.
Is that for the five?
That's for five.
Okay. And that's how much they offered?
That was for five.
In the last class, I just graduated a couple weeks ago.
They are on COPS.
But, I mean, these five could be funded from that, or we don't know, or we're just putting... I'm just asking a question.
We were down in D.C. for something else, and we spoke with the director of the COPS program. And I think we were one of the only, if not the only, agency in Delaware that go after those funds. And we weren't assured, but it was pretty clear that we would get the funding. And it was, I think it was actually for, it was more than five.
That's why I'm asking.
But again, we could always ask for more. Asked for more. We'll get more than five, I don't know. But I'm pretty comfortable we'll get at least money for it.
I mean, that's
five officers.
That's kind of how anything with the feds, with the rural development stuff, is the same way. You apply for whatever and end up with whatever. But I guess what I'm saying is, can those funds be used for these five positions if we get them? Or will it be the next class?
It'll be the next class. Because this class is pretty much already selected. We're well into that process, so it'll probably be for the next class. It'll probably start sometime in the spring.
This is totally out of budget.
Right now, and the captain just wants to put it in my ear, within the next year,
Right now,
we could lose 55 officers. 55 police officers can leave our agency right now.
Okay, the chair recognizes, first of all, that Councilman Joe Redd has been here the entire meeting. And we'll go to Councilman Redd. Councilman.
Thank you. Joe, Billy touched on something about having more police officers. But at the same time, I do know that the last class that we had, what, 19?
Yes.
For the county. But then we lost a bunch of guys, too, that retired. So our numbers are almost negative sometimes.
Yes.
Sometimes they're positive, sometimes they're negative. But on the positive side, it's not that many. So what I think Billy was, I don't know, he can correct me if I'm wrong, is that within your budget that he was asking for, is if we put more police officers on, the ones that are leaving are going to be at a higher rate.
Yes.
With their benefits and everything. So if we can get that comparison of the ones that are going to be leaving and the ones that are going to be coming in on the amount of dollars and cents to compare. So, you know, instead of saying it was going to cost us $2 million, it might only cost us $1.5 million, but it's coming out of that salary area of the people that are leaving. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, exactly.
So if we can get those figures and...
We'll have it. What's interesting, if I could, I was talking to the colonel of the Delaware State Police. I thought they had 650 troopers. Do you know how many troopers they have? Well over 700.
Yeah. They've gone up.
Well, and they have gone up. Well over 700.
Where are they?
We're
going to
control
it. Well,
I'm not going to. Sussex gets $2 million.
What do you want? You know the truth.
Smiley for the record, in case they're listening.
All right, that was Councilman George Smiley. It was
130 Cross Avenue.
All right, well, we're going to go with Councilman Cartier.
So you said you have 55 officers now that could retire. What is the usual retirement rate out of the agency that you experience on a yearly basis? Do you have a number that kind of, is it an even situation, or do you get a lump of retirements?
Yeah.
Very unpredictable.
Could you repeat that? You have a cold.
Yes, I do.
Historically, when you look at it, it's probably about 1.2 per month, depending on the job market and a lot of other factors. Out of that 55, we do have 6 officers that are going to have to leave because of the age restriction. The next year and a half with our 55 maximum services. So, you know, good safe numbers 1 to 1.2 per month typically retire.
Okay.
Council President Pro Tem.
16. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I feel that, you know, when we're talking about the size of our police force, the authorized strength, for me as one council member, I feel that we should actually have some relative comparisons here, as opposed to just looking at a number and pulling out a number and let's add 20, let's add 30, let's add more people. Right now, when you look at our budget, I think public safety accounts for about 2/3 of our budget. Just yesterday, we were sitting here looking at land use, where there are 20 people down. So if you want to look at it realistically, I think that we have to look at it in a realistic situation. I mean, we can have as many police officers as we're willing to pay for, or as many as we're willing to ask the public to pay for. But I think at some point, there has to be a reasonable amount of police officers as relates to the people who live in Newcastle County and the number of officers that are reasonably can serve us to protect us in a fine fashion. So I just feel that as we're looking at trying to expand the authorized strength, I'm all for supporting every police academy that I feel that we need to try to keep up with attrition. And there's always a number of officers who are eligible to leave, but of that number that are eligible, they all don't leave. There's a number that leaves. So I think for me, it has to be a little bit more realistic as opposed to us just taking a number, because I don't think that the mere fact that we're having the biggest police force in the country gives us the best police force in the country. I think there's a point where big sort of like is no benefit. So I think that when we're looking at it, it should be some comparables here, not to just say that, well, let's get 50 more officers because 50 more officers gives us 50 more officers. I think there has to be some other consideration when we're looking at the size of our police force.
Okay. Co-Chairman Street.
Well, obviously the game's on, but I'm going to play. I'm gonna stay out of this. He opened the door. Now we want to play. I'm not sitting here plucking something out of the air and just arbitrarily giving a number. Okay? 10 years ago when I came on this council, paramedics weren't wearing bulletproof vests. okay? They're wearing bulletproof vests now for a reason, okay? Because of the high crime areas and where they have to go and respond to shootings, and they have to naturally be concerned about whether or not they're going to get shot. I didn't do that. Nobody plucked that out of the air. It's an obvious need. Second, it's Newcastle County. Y'all read Newsweek the same as I did. Murdertown, USA, as Newsweek called it, is sitting in the middle of this county. And anybody who's naive enough to think that those shootings and those murders don't have connections outside the city, they're sadly mistaken. And you don't need to go any further than what we had just been talking about in terms of Rose Hill and this last situation, to know that there's a link. It needs to be broken up. Two, there's nothing new about me repeatedly saying to him, this chief, and the former chief, you got high crime areas, you got increases in shootings. Number one, as you increase in shootings, you have increases in shootings, increases in murder, then you can't just let other crime go. And the less serious crime, it has to be addressed or it gets out of hand. So as you have the increases in the violent crime, which requires more responsibility, more time, in terms of officers' dedication to a homicide, officers having to go to trial, all those things, there's a difference. And second, I have argued repeatedly that in high crime areas, need to take a serious look at changing police methodology. I'm not the police chief, by the same token, in other jurisdictions across the country, more than one man officers have worked. I still have a concern about having rookies on the street by themselves, and it's worse if you have a rookie on the street, somebody who's new in a high crime area, and in a community that they're not dealing with. So I'm just not plucking numbers out of the air and just saying increase. You look at the increase in crime, you look at police methodologies and approaches, and you look at where we're located, it's all relevant. And then we can make comparisons, shootings to shootings per capita. Newsweek made a determination that the city of Wilmington was Murdertown, USA. I didn't do that.
I think, Councilman Powers. No, yeah. Go right ahead.
I'm changing to what you had said about the state troopers at 700. And knowing Sussex County gives $2 million to get 40 troopers, and taking the 9th district going from the canal now goes to Dover, where we have 3 police south of the canal. The state only has 2. And a lot of them are going to Dover, and we're feeling it, you know, but it's getting better. You know, but it's that is a lot of cops. And where are they? Kent and Sussex County? Because they're sure not in southern Newcastle County.
Co-Chairman Street.
Well, you know, the state government has its priorities. It's put its money. If you want to know what your commitment is, you look at the budget, okay? And it's put its money in the police force. And I heard the former state representative told me flat out, nobody going to cut police in the state. It'll be 100 kids in the classroom before we cut the police. So it depends on what your priorities are. And I'm sorry, right now, crime and reducing crime is a priority for me as one council member and one member of this council in this government. It has been a priority, it's going to stay a priority, because I got to the point where not only did I get tired of going to funerals and tired of standing up listening to a mother wail over her dead child, to the point where I almost can't go to funerals anymore, because at what point does it stop? At what point do you stop burying your children?
Very, very good discussion. I'll stand by the thing that I think between now and next meeting, both co-chairs of public safety meet with the director, the colonel, and staff, and administration, and think realistic numbers, take a look at budgetary, take a look at federal funding and how it works out. And I think one of the points that was brought out today that's really crucial to what Councilman Street is bringing up is that, and what was brought forth by the cabinet, is that mandatory retirements in law enforcement, mandatory age retirements, correct?
Yes,
Captain. 55 years old, okay? So the fact of the matter is that if we take a look, okay, at not only history, but take a look at what's coming upon us in the future, those numbers have to factor in with the fact that once they get to 55 and kind of like what's the pass forward. So, you know, I wholeheartedly support Councilman Street on his what he's brought forward before and increasing numbers, but I also understand that we've got to live within budgetary constraints. And I think we do our homework, we come back, and we give a report back to council, okay, as to where we're going. So, Councilman.
Just correct me if I'm wrong, but the mandatory retirement age, that was set by the county, right?
No, I'm not sure. I thought that was... Isn't that state law, 55 and out?
State, because they leave us and go work at other municipality police departments.
Yeah,
like the DRBA? So I'm just curious, who sets the mandatory retirement? You only got a year to go, you need to find out.
I'm 62.
Well, you only look 62.
Yeah.
I really couldn't answer your question.
Okay, I'm curious.
We'll find out.
Yeah, I thought it was...
By the time we get together,
I thought it was us. I was just curious.
Co-Chairman Street.
Probably it's different for the municipality.
I'm going to try to finish.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry.
But if anybody thinks that I'm sitting here and I'm playing politics with the police, they're sadly mistaken. All right? And we had a preacher, who I happen to like most of the time, had the unmitigated gall to open his mouth and get in the paper because he's preaching a funeral talking about how many elected officials here. Well, you just got here. When you catch up with the number of funerals I've been to from 1996 to now for teenagers and young people, then you can start running your mouth. Okay? And when you have to go out in the street every day and you see mothers and you see brothers and you see sisters and you see cousins who are never going to recover from the death, when you have to deal with that every day and you do it for a living, it's not a political game. And I don't have any respect for anybody who wants to play political games with
you. Thank you, Councilman. Any other comments on this particular area? Okay. All right, next on the agenda, Councilwoman Diller, 15-005. Status is tabled to amend the Newcastle County Code, Chapter 22, offenses and miscellaneous provisions, to establish 100-yard residential safety zones for practicing or playing with or using archery equipment and crossbows for the protection of county residents, visitors, domestic animals, and property, subject to the state's reduced 50-yard safety zone for hunting deer during archery season. Councilwoman?
Yes. To make a long story short, this ordinance will be withdrawn and a new ordinance will come forward. I was able, through the, you know, good work of John Husband, to meet with DNREC officials last week. I think after the end of the meeting, they understood our concerns, which is that at this point, we aren't able to have police be proactive in a situation where people are being irresponsible with this type of equipment. And so one of the changes in the new ordinance, which will come forward, is that we will reduce the 100 yards down to 50, which is consistent with the DNREC regulations. But I think there was a good discussion, and I think that they did understand that the concern of the need for to have some kind of enforcement in these small residential communities. So that's where we are.
Thank you, Councilman. Okay, we're going to go number six on the agenda. It's actually general public overview of the county's newly instituted rewards program by the public safety director. And at this point in time, I'm going to move that we go into executive session to discuss the specific activities of the County Police Department in its efforts to collect confidential information leading to criminal apprehension.
Second.
Any question on the motion?
Second.
Okay, it's seconded by Councilman Smiley.
Mr. Chairman, as a public member, can I just speak to the group for a second before you guys go to executive session?
You just
going to leave if you go to executive session. Mm-hmm.
Is it in reference to this?
No, sir.
But we resume. You're not ending the meeting. You'll come back.
I think you know, I made the motion, it's seconded. Second to the motion would be willing. I have no problem as the chair to recognize the gentleman
order.
Here. That
move to go out of order.
Yeah. Go
out of order.
Okay.
So motion to go out of order.
Second.
Second.
Okay. Motion made and seconded to go out of order. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So
we're not
going
to speak?
Yes.
Well, we're going to go under other. And if you would please stand and introduce yourself.
Okay. Hi. My name's David Irwin, and I'm a resident of Colonial Heights. And I came here today as a public member just to see how the process works. But I must say I'm so impressed that I want to give compliments to two individuals in the room. The first being Joe Retta, Councilman Joe Retta. We live in Colonial Heights, which is right on the outskirts of Ellesmere and Wilmington. And we have a business in the neighborhood on Lancaster Avenue, Brandywine Counseling Services. They serve over 1,000 people a day on our methadone clinic. And for whatever reason, we're not sure, but they come and then they get their methadone. And then they come over into our neighborhood. There's been prostitution in garages. There have been sheds broken into. A couple residents have been assaulted. And Joe Retta has been a champion for us. And because we are where we are, when we call the police, well, let me back up. When someone commits a crime in Colonial Heights, they run across Lancaster Avenue. And they're in city jurisdictions, so Ellesmere and other jurisdictions can't change them. So Joe, through his contacts, has gotten cooperation between Ellesmere County and Wilmington Police. So I just want to publicly acknowledge Joe for his championship, and hopefully someday, because I understand they've been there 30 years, and their clientele has expanded so much that they have far outgrown their facilities. So hopefully we'll get them relocated. Okay, that was the first one. The second one I wanted to say is, as a result of being involved with this, I've gotten to meet some of the county police, the community police officers, and Master Corporal Crawley explained to us about, after a number of years of a hiatus, Newcastle County Police had started up their 19th Civilian Police Academy program. And my wife and I applied. We were very fortunate. I understand 70 people applied. We were very fortunate to be two of the 25 to get accepted. I have been so impressed with the efforts of Safety Director Bryant, Colonel Setti, because, you know, I applaud your passion for what you're saying about increasing number of police. And I take your point about, just because you have a large police department doesn't mean you're going to have the best police department. But the programs that they have implemented, this one they have in place called TAPS, I have been so impressed, where they take their limited resource and they do an analysis of a particular high crime area and they focus their resources on that area. So once again, I applaud you know, County Executive Gordon, Director Brian, Colonel Settings. I just can't say enough about all these guys. So thank you very much.
You're absolutely welcome. We appreciate you taking the time to come before County Council with your comments and input.
So I guess I can leave now.
You can stay.
Get out.
You can stay and come back in.
Yeah.
Do we have to go back?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Motion to go back.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to go back to the regular course of business. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Okay. At this point, once again, I'll move to go into executive session to discuss the specific activities of the County Police Department and its efforts to collect confidential information leading to criminal apprehension. Seconded by Councilman Smiley. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried.
Chair, I'm requesting the remain.
County Attorney? Director?
I'm fine.
County Attorney?
Where's our attorney?
Yeah, that's my attorney.
It's unfortunate that many around the table weren't there, but as you well know, we now have a fusion center in our public safety building. And as I said this morning, in the planning stages, we wanted to do something special for one of our leading public safety officials in this county and in the state. So we decided some time back to name it after one of our very own, and that's Councilman Bell. And we actually surprised him. He had no clue until this morning. But we named it after him, and I can only encourage everyone around the table on the first opportunity, as early as next Tuesday, our next TAPS meeting, if you have an opportunity, please stop over and experience this renovated area within our building. Thank you.
And
congratulations.
Just thank you very much. Director, I thank everyone this morning. I'll continue to thank everyone for the honor. And I think that, as Director mentioned, if you have an opportunity, and we could even set up in the future a demonstration for council,
yes,
a live demonstration, but to be able to collect, process, analyze, and share information that are dealing with both the criminal element and possibility of terroristic type element, not just beyond our borders, but within our communities. This particular fusion center and a team, consolidated team effort with police, fire, medical, emergency management, and our communities. We are second to none. We've said it before, but this just continues to be on the cutting edge of technology, and I'm just amazed by the teamwork and everything that's being done in public safety, but very humble, very proud, very appreciative.
Your pay, Chairman
Street.
Well, you know, number one, congratulations.
Thank you.
Number two, you know, you've got, you've been involved in public safety long before you even ran for elected office. And I had the opportunity to attend the Holloway Terrace dinner the other night. As I go through the program, it looks like you've been recognized for every possible award that you can get from the fire company. And, you know, so that service is real, real special. Do want you to know, however, I would have been there, but I guess they wanted to keep it such a secret that nobody told me until late yesterday afternoon, and I'm not going to mention any names, but initials is Brian, and I couldn't adjust my morning schedule this morning to get there. So, if I had known, but, you know, I guess they decided the secret's a secret, and surprised I got told yesterday afternoon.
I understand, and I appreciate it. I'll tell you what, it's very hard to keep something secret in today's environment, and especially for me. And I can tell you that this was a secret right up to it occurring. I wondered why everybody was trying to get me out of the house early this morning so they could start moving. But total secret, very surprised, and I'm very appreciative of everyone. As I pointed out there were a lot of information shared with folks about my career in public safety. One of the main things that I pointed out there today was that it's not about self, never has been. When you're in public safety, when you're in public office, it's about serving others. And it is truly a team effort of everyone working together for the end result of serving our public and everything. So that's a very appreciative. Well, Councilman Tackett.
Congratulations, Mr.
Thank
Chairman.
You, sir.
That's it. You know, obviously, you're long tenure and dedication and commitment to public safety, you know, has not gone under the radar. So, congratulations. Captain, Director, are we developing a plan again this summer on our parks? As we enter into the warm weather, they tend to become very active and become magnets, you know, for these criminals and the activity and the things that happen. And I see it heavy in Glasgow Park and another park that I have over in Salem Woods, Wise Park. Wise Park tends to congregate a lot of youth there, unfortunately, that generate a lot of mischief. Glasgow Park generates a lot of the families that the criminals are looking at that want to get into their cars and take the items. And recently, and you know, last year, Mr. Chairman, we had the problem where I had to go in there and do some ticketing and create a little bit of valid. Well, we've had a problem again this year where they're all trying to congregate at the beginning and they're parking on the roadway. Cars can't get through. Kids are running in between the cars. Inevitably, we're going to have a disaster down there, and a child's going to be hit, and something's going to happen, and, you know, we put the signs up. I'm just wondering, you know, what maybe this spring / summer, you know, that we might be planning with any of the units that might be going in and looking at addressing something. And
Captain?
As you know, when I was the XO, sir, you and I worked together on a lot of those projects, and the same philosophy at this point, as I know our mounted unit has been and will be involved and continue both on mounted as well as our ATVs. We've used some of our federal funding to that as allows us to tackle hotspots to put special jobs in those specific parks rather than the communities. We use some of our allotted funding to put them in parks. And I know just looking at Portal today when I came over, there was stuff up there from Major Bond and others to make sure that we're hitting these parks. We just got the authorized vendor list. That's always another top complaint in the parks for us.
Mm-hmm.
So we can chase those folks out that are not authorized to be in the parks. But it's a concerted effort, one that we try to get to as frequently as we can. And, you know, I know that, you know, I can't say these are the 10 steps we hope to do, but I think it will also be kind of evolving. You know, I know Glasgow Park and Banning Park were two of our bigger park issues last year. And that we do remain committed to those. And having talked to Lieutenant Davies, I know she will be using some of the federal funding as well.
Co-Chairman Street.
I know it's too late for this year's proposed budget. I know there may be some pushback, but, you know, in my district, City of Wilmington is going to be serving breakfast and lunch in county parks. It's going to be increased traffic. And all I know is one of the things that I saw working and it got dissolved in the city was the use of park rangers in the summer. And I just think, just making a suggestion, thinking out loud, maybe something we want to look at in lieu of or in addition to, because we've got increased park traffic. Everybody, you know, I look at your park, and I'm down there at 8:30 in the morning going past that. I had no idea that many people were using that park, and apparently that's most of the day, but especially on weekends. Retirees out there walking and that kind of thing. So we're going to have increased usage, and going back to the argument in the discussion we were having earlier, and the limited strength, what's another option? And I'm just suggesting you may want to consider that as another option.
Anything else under other?
Sir, I just Mike Slinsky, yes, from the FOP. President, I know the question was asked where the mandatory age 55 for police officers came, so I did some research during the executive session. Where that language came about was back in 1993 when the county officer switched to the, which is now known as the county municipal plan, pension plan. It's under the state code under Title 11, Section 88. That language was established, I guess that was part of the deal or the agreement of going to that, the age 55. So that age bracket, the age number is established by the employer and the language in the collective bargaining agreement.
The pension plan.
Correct.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. Anything other? Director Bryan?
Tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, you're
We will be hosting our Public Safety Awards celebration. We have over 100 members of our department, as well as some civilians receiving awards, so it's going to start at 9. If anyone's available, please feel free to stop over and be in a Sweeney Amati Perkins room.
Over 100. Anything else? Motion?
Motion to adjourn.
Second. Made and seconded to adjourn. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Executive committee meeting will short.